WMRA News, I'm Bob Levicky. A new report finds that Virginia's foster care system does not do enough to find relatives to take in foster children. It's a practice known as KinderCare. Virginia schools are transforming, and that could profoundly affect transgender students. And a Charlottesville jury meets for a second day on the sentencing of James Alex Fields, Jr. This is the WMRA Daily for Tuesday, December 11th.
Support for the WMRA Daily comes from the Shops at Stonefield at Route 29 and Hydraulic Road in Charlottesville, featuring a collection of shopping, dining, and entertainment experiences with parking available. Learn more at shopsatstonefield.com.
A jury in Charlottesville is resuming deliberations Tuesday on a sentencing recommendation for James Alex Fields, Jr. Fields was convicted of first-degree murder and other charges Friday for killing Heather Heyer and injuring dozens of others when he drove his car into counter-protesters at a white supremacist rally. Jurors spent just under 2 hours Monday considering a sentence. The 21-year-old Fields of Maumee, Ohio, faces up to life in prison. On Monday, the jury heard emotional testimony from the mother of Heather Heyer, a 32-year-old paralegal and activist. Jurors also heard from several people who suffered severe injuries. A psychologist testifying for the defense said that Fields has a long history of mental health issues, including bipolar disorder. A new report released Monday finds that Virginia's current foster care system does not place enough emphasis on finding relatives to take in foster children. That's otherwise known as kinship care. WCVE's Megan Pauley reports.
Only about 6% of Virginia youth in foster care were placed with relatives in 2016, compared to over 30% nationally.
There's a cost to it.
That's Allison Gilbreth with Voices for Virginia's Children. She points to a pilot program called 30 Days to Family. They identify and interview 80 prospective relatives in 30 days. But Gilbreth says that takes a lot of time and effort.
It's just easier to find a non-relative placement because they have that list of licensed foster homes already.
The JLARC report recommended the state require local social service departments to conduct at minimum annual searches for relatives. Gilbreth says that's important. Studies show youth who live with relatives do better in the long run than those who don't.
Megan Pauley, WMRA News.
That JLARC study also found that caseworkers are overloaded, which makes it hard for them to ensure that children get adequate medical or mental health treatment. Well, school divisions across the Commonwealth are in the midst of a transformation that may have profound consequences for transgender students. Virginia Public Radio's Michael Pope reports.
It all started with an active shooter drill in Stafford County this fall. Students were supposed to head to the locker rooms for safety, but school administrators were not sure about what to do with a transgender student. That led the school board to consider a measure to make it unambiguously clear. Students belong in the locker rooms of the genders they identify with. LGBT activist Robert Rigby says school divisions across Virginia are looking to Stafford because this would be the first school board in Virginia to take this kind of action.
Being called by the pronouns that fit their gender identity by being able to use the facilities that fit their gender identity. It's essential to be treated the way you are in school.
Victoria Cobb at the Family Foundation disagrees.
We can teach our children to be compassionate and tolerant towards one another without forcing young children to be in vulnerable interactions with the opposite sex students in restrooms and locker rooms.
The Stafford School Board is expected to vote in late January or early February, just as the issue is receiving heightened attention across Virginia. Earlier this month, a teacher in West Point was fired for refusing to use the gender pronouns a student there identified with. I'm Michael Pope.
Finally today, Virginia professor and author Ed Ayers has chronicled life during the Civil War in a community in the north and another in Augusta County here in Virginia. Ayers will discuss life in the Valley during the Civil War at WMRA's Books and Brews. That's happening Tuesday evening in Harrisonburg and Wednesday in Crozet. He spoke with WMRA's Chris Boros.
I grew up in Tennessee, went to Andrew Johnson Elementary School, but I was never interested in the Civil War. You know, it has a kind of a reputation as being something that people are interested in as a hobby rather than seriously. And I've discovered that that's not really true. A lot of people who are hobbyists actually have very deep interest in it. And I find myself saying, you know, it's the defining event in the nation's history and brought the end of slavery for 4 million people. and ensured that the United States survived, it seemed to be kind of worth being interested in. So I decided that I would try to put it in a form, a story, that people go, I didn't think I was interested in this, but I see what you mean. This actually is pretty gripping.
And in this book, you basically choose two communities as the focus of life during the Civil War, a northern community in Pennsylvania, and then a southern county in Virginia. Can you talk about each and, you know, why you chose these places?
I can. I think the Virginia County might be one that people have heard about. It's Augusta County. It's Stanton. And the northern county is Franklin County, where Pennsylvania is. Well, I was driving up I-81 one day and struck, as always, by just how beautiful the Shenandoah Valley is. I was probably somewhere near Harrisonburg. And then I saw a sign for New Market, and it suddenly hit me that, wow, in this beautiful place, they had all kinds of battles. And immediately the 23rd Psalm came to mind, the Valley of the Shadow of Death. So I said, okay, I'm going to choose two places that are alike in almost every way. Now, they had the same soil, the same crops, the same climate, the same churches, the same ethnicities among white people. There's just one difference. There's a line on the ground that has slavery on one side and not slavery on the other. And that line ended up making all the difference. And so people there in the valley killing each other just a few months after they'd lived in peace. So I thought, okay, if I'm going to choose two places in the valley, how would I choose them? And I chose two places where the soldiers from those places were in every major battle. And I also chose two places that had two newspapers running throughout the entire era. It goes from John Brown's raid in 1859 all the way to the 15th Amendment in 1870. And so I wanted as much almost daily reports of what people are thinking and doing. Then I went out to find all the letters and diaries, and I just lucked out in a ridiculous way. Augusta County is the home of Jedediah Hotchkiss, who's the map maker for Stonewall Jackson and the Confederacy, who wrote letters to his wife almost every day and kept a diary. That was great. I chose those places because they seem emblematic of what I call, in the subtitle of the book, the heart of America. These are two places that shared everything, but they went to war against each other.
So you're focusing on Stanton in the book in Augusta County. What was life like in Stanton during the Civil War, and how much did it change after?
Well, Stanton is really interesting, partly because they were building a railroad line from the valley to Richmond when the Civil War broke out. They had managed to dig the longest railroad tunnel in the world, dug with enslaved laborers and Irishmen. And then the railroad intersected in Stanton with the Valley Turnpike. And as a result of that, the Valley supplied enormous amounts of food to Robert E. Lee's army in Richmond, but it was also a hospital base. And so living in Stanton during the war, anytime there was a battle anywhere, the houses and hospitals filled up with wounded men. And they just had 2,000 graves already dug at one point in the war. So when the next train rolled in, they would have places for all these young men who would die in the hospitals and homes of Stanton. So Stanton is in the center of action. They think it's going to be invaded at any time, maybe from the Alleghenies. It's under threat for a whole time. And so it's really important. It sees a lot of fighting around it. And so what it would have been like if you've been on pins and needles the whole time.
Is there something you hope people will get out of reading your book?
Yeah, I mean, one of the things the book is basically designed to put you in the middle of all this. And the job of us today is not to pass judgment on these people of the past, but to understand why they did the things they did. How could people think it was right to own other people? You know, how could people go to war for 4 years and sustain that? So I'd like people to actually not come into the war, into the book with an idea they already know how it turned out, but rather to suspend belief and be surprised by something on almost every page.
Ed Ayers is the author of The Thin Light of Freedom. He's our featured author for Books and Brews tonight in Harrisonburg and tomorrow in Crozet. Ed Ayers, thanks so much.
Thank you.
And we've got all the details at WMRA.org. We hope to see you there. That's the podcast for this Tuesday for WMRA News. I'm Bob Levicky. Thanks for listening, and enjoy your day.